ಶಂಭಾಂ ವ್ಯಾಸ ಶಂಕರ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕ ಶಂಕರಂ ಪುನಃ ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ವಿಶೀರ್ಣ ಕಾರ್ಯಕರಣೋ ಭೂತ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮೈರನಾವೃತಃ ವಿಶೀರ್ಣ ಕಾರ್ಯಕರಣೋ ಭೂತ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮೈರ ಭೂತ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮೈರನಾವೃತಃ ಭೂತ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮೈರನಾವೃತಃ ವಿಮುಕ್ತ ಕರ್ಮ ನಿಗಡ ಸದ್ಯ ಏವ ವಿಮುಚ್ಯತೆ ಸಿ ವಿಶೀರ್ಣ ಕಾರ್ಯಕರಣ this person's body, mind and complex will be disintegrated. In fact, physical body will be disintegrated, subtle body will be resolved. Okay, so as the one whose physical body becomes disintegrated, sukshma becomes resolved, he has neither subtle, sukshma, to assume a new stola, so he is absolutely free. Which means what? Not only a person has to attain with Jivan Mukti. He must be free while living. So when the Parabdha gets exhausted, he leaves the physical body. That is when he becomes the one without Stola Sukshma Ka Shairani. No body here. Bhuta Sukshmahi Anavrita. Once a person does not assume a body, see, because sukshma sharam resolves. And the mind also resolves for a jnani. See, what is it which really sustains the mind? Is ignorance. When ignorance becomes resolved, ignorance caused, experiences are also not possible. Ignorance caused, wrong motions are not possible, deceits are not possible, anger is not possible. Therefore, reactions are not possible, further activities are not possible. Isn't it? Because kartutvam also goes. What happens? What is mind? All these thoughts constitute the mind. Therefore, the mind becomes resolved for good means the mind will disappear. Then what happens when the mind dissolves? Mind always very subtle. You can't decide how, draw and show how the mind looks. You understand mind. The mind becomes resolved for good means mind is not there. Therefore, subtle powers also resolve in the respective devatas. All the powers resolve, sukshma being not there. There's no way of assuming this stholam. Therefore, stholam also will not be there. The old stholam becomes disintegrated. Assumption of new stholam is not possible because sukshma resolves. Therefore, when stholam is not there, sukshma is not there, where is the question of bhoga ayatanam is not there. Bhoga indriyani are not there. Instruments of enjoyment are not there. Inter-instrument of enjoyment, knowledge, mind is not there. How can there be knowledge? How can there be enjoyment? How can there be experience? Therefore, he is no more surrounded by, covered by, bound by the objects of perception. Okay, what objects of perception? See, sukshma bhutaihi anavrataha means the subtle elements. In terms of the attributes, all the objects obtaining in five different forms as five different objects perceptible to five different sense organs also will be resolved. He is not possible. He will, world will be there. Everything will be there. He will not be perceiving the objects anymore. Understand? That is the meaning, anavrataha. So, vimukta karma nigadaha. What does it mean? He attains videha muktihi. So, sadhyaha ye vimuchyate means, he attains sadhyo muktihi. He becomes liberated for good at once. It means, he has attained videha muktihi. சோ விதேக முக்தி சத்யா சத்யோ முக்தி இம்ப்ளைஸ் அட்டைனிங் மோக்ஷா ஹியர் இட் செல்ஃப் இன் திஸ் வெரி லைஃப் இட் செல்ஃப் வாட் ஜீவன் முக்தி தென் கண்டினியூங் பார்ப் தட்ஸ் எக்ஸாஸ்டட் விதேக முக்தி ஆல்சோ சத்யோ முக்தி இம்ப்ளைஸ் போத் ஜீவன் முக்தி அண்ட் விதேக முக்தி இஸ் கிளியர் திஸ் ஐ ஆல்ரெடி டோல்ட் யூ பட் ஐம் ரிப்பீட்டிங் அகேன் ப்ராரப்த கர்ம வேகேன ஜீவன் முக்தோ யதா பவேத் கிஞ்சித் காலமனாரப்த கர்ம பந்தஸ்ய சம்சயே நிரஸ்தாதிஷயானந்தம் வைஷ்ணவம் பரமம் பதம் புனராவிருத்திரஹிதம் கைவல்யம் பிரதிபத்யதே ஜீவன் முக்தா அக்கோர்ட் விதே த பர்சன் ஹஸ் டு அட்டைன் விதேக முக்தி வில் நாட் பி எனி மோர் சரண்டர்ட் பை ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் என்ஜாய்மெண்ட் in the form of shabda sparsha sound form taste etc even a person gyani who is living also he will not be drawn towards anything even though he is enjoying also he will only see what everything for him there's only brahma there's no more shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha everything is brahma in his vision in his perception nothing other than Brahma. Is what is there? What is there in front is Brahma. What is that? The back is Brahma. What is above is Brahma. What is below is Brahma. Whatever I perceive is Brahma. Whatever is seen, heard, tasted, smelt, everything is Brahma. Aham Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. This is the vision. With this vision, when a person is alive as a Jivan Mukta also, he is no more surrounded by objects other than himself. Okay. He is not surrounded, covered by objects anymore. Means for him that there are no more objects. Shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha na santi means what? There are no more objects. Means all the objects are relatively there, but for him they are all Brahma. You see what wave from the standpoint of water? There is only water. See the wave kind of wave or ocean? There is ocean or water wave. So from which standpoint you see? So he is no more sukshma bhutaihi anavrutaha, means while living in this world also, for him all the objects around him are no more covering him, because he does not look at himself as what? An enclosed individual. Understand? Does not, for a jnani, he is no more consciousness enclosed within the obtaining within the enclosed body maintenance complex. For him, the consciousness in which the whole jagat exists. A completely different perspective, isn't it? Before jnanam, as yesterday I said, please listen to me carefully. Yesterday I said in the class, initially we all have what? Dehatma. We said dehatma buddhi. Okay. When there's dehatma buddhi, you take just the body is the meaning of the word I for you as a gross mind ignorant person. Body, I am the body. But it's very easily, effortlessly, that understanding, wrong understanding is already there. You do not even know that there's error in your perception or understanding. When you have strong I sense in the body, taking the body as a self, what is there? There is aham bhavaha. Ahankaraha. Isn't it? There's ahambhava. Ahankara bhavaha also is. The state of being the ahankara means what? A limited individual identified only with the body. Then from there, gradually, because of some punyam, punya vashat, how the identity becomes shifted. Then there happens what? Oh, I am consciousness. I didn't know where I am distinct from the body, therefore different from the body, therefore I am consciousness, okay, obtaining within the enclosure of body, mind and complex. Understand? then that is when you have the status of being a jiva. I am an individual limited being. I am an individual human being. I am an individual being. That is Jiva Atma Bhavaha. Seeing oneself as consciousness obtaining within the body, mind, sense complex enclosure. Then Jiva. Then from here, what you understand, this consciousness, this I in our consciousness, I am not just obtaining within the enclosure. I am one limitless reality, all pervasive, timeless, space limitless, object-based limitless, all pervasive, only secondless, non-dual reality. I, the consciousness, am the only reality, Brahma. When this understanding becomes shifted from this being a consciousness obtaining within the enclosure, in understanding it is shifted to that consciousness, the all-pervasive reality, then what happens? So I know I am consciousness alone, I am the whole world. Then here what happens? I become shifted, then I am no more different from Ishvara. Why? Jagat Swarupam is Ishvara. Jiva Swarupam also is Ishvara. Ishvara Swarupam, Jagat Swarupam, Jiva Swarupam is one and the same. When you understand the standpoint of consciousness, the truth of the universe, and the truth of the individual, yourself being non-separate from individual, the Ishvara, then you see yourself being Ishvara, being one with Ishvara. That is what? From Jivatma Bhava to, you shift yourself from the state of being a Jiva to the state of being Ishvara. Then, as Ishvara, what do? And so, I, the self, am the one secondless, non-dual consciousness existence, which is of the state of all pervasiveness, limitlessness, implied with the term Brahma, aham Brahma asmi. And then, the knower is Brahma, known is Brahma, knowledge is Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. There's no Jiva other than Brahma, Ishvara other than Brahma, Jagat other than Brahma. What is Jiva? Consciousness with the given form, individual form and name is Jiva. Then what happens? The same consciousness with the totality of forms, names and functions is Ishvara. And a mere totality of forms, names and functions alone is what? Jagat. Is it clear now? So, Ishvara, aham, Jiva is Brahma, Ishvara is Brahma, Jagat Brahma, Sarvam Brahma. There's nothing other than Brahma. And it comes even one step. It's a state of being the self of everything. The state of being a self of everything is said to be what? Sarvatmatvam. Sarvatma Bhavaha. This is how the shift happens. Throughout cognitive shift, nothing happens in there. Cognitively, the shifting the understanding. Cognitive shift happens. This is the culmination. Then, when as having a state of being self of everything, as having Sarvatma, isn't it? Then, even if you are surrounded by Sukshma Bhutas, even having an individual surrounded by Sukshma Bhutas, all the objects are surrounding the body, what you can say? I am not surrounded by anything. Why? I am not up in an enclosure. Understand? I am the reality in me, the whole Jagat exists. So I am not surrounded by anything. Understand? I am surrounded by world of objects. I am surrounded by Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandhaha. All objects. Okay? Obtaining in five different forms. As five different objects. Perceptible through five different sense organs. Am I surrounded anymore? No. Why? I can say I'm surrounded even when as a Jivan Mukta, you are no more surrounded. Even though relatively, no, you seem to be surrounded by the world of objects. Absolutely, you are not surrounded by anything. The whole world exists in you. How can you be surrounded? Got it now? It's all understanding. Even remaining as a jnani individual, as a jnani, having the body, mind, sense complex also, in spite of enjoying the objects of, in spite of perceiving the objects also, still you can see what? Sense organs are perceiving the objects. Objects perceived are Brahma. The perceiving instruments, the sense organs are Brahma. The mind, now, the perceiver is also Brahma. I am the witness of everything is what? The perceiver, perceived, perception, all are Brahma. I am that Brahma who is free from this triputi bheda. Is it clear now? As a jnani, your understanding becomes shifted that you are no more surrounded. Of course, after death happens, what happens? Definitely, after the paratha gets exhausted, then definitely they won't be any surrounded, being surrounded. Understand? It's very important to understand. See, it depends upon I am no more surrounded. When I surrounded, if you look at yourself as an individual obtaining within a body, you look at yourself as a no perceiver, then there is a world external to the body which is perceived. I am surrounded by the world of objects. When only identity is with the consciousness obtaining as the perceiver within the body. Look at yourself as a consciousness of one secondless non-dual reality, which is soft chair of limitlessness implied by Brahma, in which the whole jagat exists, you are not surrounded. Is it clear? This point, particular point I didn't mention earlier. After I came and asked me in the class, he was doubtful because it must be Videha Mukti alone. Of course, Videha Mukti is even Jivan Mukti also. Even as a Jivan Mukta, you are not surrounded by the world anymore. Absolutely. Relatively, you are surrounded. From the standpoint of body, mind, sense complex, you are surrounded. Absolutely, you are no more surrounded. You are never surrounded. Why? You are the very truth of everything. That is why the beautiful word is there. See, in some second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it finally comes, no? Nirvanam Brahma. The Brahma, absolute reality, this abstract, formless, subtlest reality, obtaining in the realm of pure consciousness, is implied by the term Brahma, which is also implied by another term, Nirvanam. You can say Nirvanam or Nirvanam Brahma. Brahman is said to be Nirvanam. Nirvanam means what? Nirvanam literally is translated as nakedness. Being naked is Nirvanam. So what? That's why in Jain Sampradaya, they have a murti who is called Digambaraha. Digambaraha is a huge murti of a man which is there, which is not covered by any clothes. The naked murti is there in Jaina Sampradaya. Have you seen that? Digambareshwara. In our culture also, in Sanatana Dharma also, Ishwara is called Digambareshwara. But here, Digambaraha, we don't have murti like that. What does it mean? Dikeva Ambaram Yasya. All the directions are Ambaram. Ambaram means dress. The one for whom all 10 quarters are dress. Because of all pervasiveness, dikeva, dig, eva, ambaram, yasa, digambaraha. Got it? And then in Kanchipuram, Bhagavan has ekambaraha. Ekam ambaram, yasa. The all space is dressed for Bhagavan. Bhagavan being all per, Bhagavan is of nature of all pervasiveness. Bhagavan as the reality is of nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, there's no place where Bhagavan is not there. So space is all pervasive. The space is like Bhagavan's dress because of his all pervasiveness. So Ekam Ambaram Yes, the one who has only space as his dress. One many. Anaming what? Digambaraha. Digambareshwaraha. Understand? So here, why do we say Nirvanam Brahma? Why reality is said to be Nirvanam? See, Nirvanam means non-coverable, that which cannot be covered. Reality is something which cannot be covered because it's because of this avruta, anavruta, sukshma bhutair anavrutaha. That word makes me say all these things. Why reality is non-coverable, cannot be covered? Because covering is possible only of anything which is spatially limited. Anything and everything in the world is subject to spatial limitation. A spatially limited object alone can be covered. A coverable vastu is something which is spatially limited. Even the big objects which occupy wider space cannot be covered. We cannot buy a sheet to something to cover a mountain. Understand? It was raining yesterday. And immediately the people are working. The cement, they didn't want cement to go away. Immediately they are covering with the tarpaulin. So some small place, even they are struggling to cover the whole space because they didn't want water to take away the cement. They are working very hard. Even such a small place, covering was difficult. Even place, things like mountain cannot be covered. Is it? Huge things cannot be covered. So, anything which is big in size, which occupies a lot of space, cannot be covered. What about the all-pervasive space? What is that which can cover this space? Cover is ever non-coverable. Now, space is ever non-coverable. Why? Because space is all-pervasive. So, spatially limited object alone can be covered. A space, limitless space itself cannot be covered. What can we talk of Brahma? Absolutely all pervasive in the space, the reality which is accommodative of all accommodative space is absolutely non-coverable. So non-coverability, because of spatial limitlessness, non-coverability of the reality alone is implied with the term as Nirvanam Brahma. Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Second chapter, last verses, Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Remember this expression? Brahma Nirvanam Richati means what? A jnani attains one with Brahma. To say that, Brahma Nirvanam Richati, it is said. Understand? That's what is meant here. Even being endowed with the body, mind, is complex also, even as a Jivan Mukta, even when a person's essence, identity shifted from Anatma to Atma, the standpoint of Atma, when he says, he is not covered by anything. Because everything exists in me. Not, isn't it? So I am a conscious being obtained within the body, mind, sense complex enclosure. When you have this understanding, you are a Jiva. I am a conscious being in whom the whole Jagat exists. You are Ishvara. You are Brahma. Is it clear? Of course, after Jivan Mukti, after attainment of Videha Mukti, definitely you will not be covered by anything. Got 2 minutes now for this? Okay.
So for Anavritam, what's the best translation?
Uncovered.
That's around it.
Yeah. See, avrunoti, covers. Avrita, covered. Anavrita, uncovered. Absolutely, as reality, you are ever uncovered only. Uncoverable, in fact. But in ajnanam, a mistake, you also, the body mind is compressed, then you are covering the body. Body is covered. And you are covered, surrounded also. The word avrita means covered, so surrounded. Avrunotam means surrounded also. So then when you look at yourself as a body, as a conscious being, as experiencer of the objects, then you are surrounded by what? Objects. Look at yourself as absolute reality. Are you covered by objects now? No, every object is Brahma for you. All this is only yourself, your own Swarup. Am I very fast now?
No.
Okay. Just I want to already completed the text. That's why I was just reading. It's a repetition of something that I was telling. I'll be slow, okay? Don't worry. This I wanted to, because I already covered it, completed it, I wanted to be fast. Understand? I have covered this portion. The portion discussing the non-coverability of the reality. So, the Satyoga Mukti implies attaining moksha in this very life itself, means while living you attain moksha, then leaving this physical body and becoming absolutely free. I think Videha Mukti is also mentioned. Okay. Now, he says, now, after having talked about Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti as Satyoga Mukti, now he continues to say something. Prarabdha karma vegena. The word vegena can be taken as bhogena also. Okay? You have noticed there? If you see, there's a footnote. Read as bhogena. Prarabdha karma bhogena or vegena. Jivan muktaha yada bhavet. Kinchit kalam anarabdha karma bandhasya samshaye nirastha atishayanandam vaishtavam paramam padam punaravrutrahitam kaivalyam pratipadyate. This person, yada, when a person becomes free while living. Jivan muktaha yada bhavet means jivan muktaha yada bhavati. When a person becomes liberated while living, as a result of, okay, exhausting part of the karma also, kinchit kalam means what? See, kalaha is a pulling shabda. Therefore, he says kanchit kalam. Kanchit and kinchit, okay, both are correct. Kinchit kalam, for some time, short while, anarabdha karma bandhasya samshay. See, anarabdha means what now? Sanchita. Anarabdha karma means sanchitam karma. Anarabdha karma is equal to sanchitam karma. The karma, the results of actions which have not yet begun fructifying. Okay, fructified. So anarabdha karma means arabdha karma is parabdha karma. Anarabdha karma means sanchitam karma. Sanchita karma bandhasya samshaye. When the bondage of, okay, the bondage of sanchita karma perishes. When the bondage of sanchita karma goes, and the person becomes jivan mukta, by going through the experience of the parabdha karma, what happens now? Parabdha karma also becomes exhausted. As a jivan muktaha, when he is there, the parabdha karma becomes exhausted. By what? The body mind is complex. So parabdha karma becomes exhausted while living in this world. As a jivan mukta, as a person liberated from bondage while living, when he is in the body itself, prarabdha karma becomes exhausted. That is what is meant by the expression. Prarabdha karma vegena means prarabdha karma bhogena. By the enjoyment of prarabdha karma while living in this world as a jivan mukta, and for some time, and when the bondage of sanchita karma also perishes, means what? Sanchita karma also become exhausted, become resolved. Then what happens? No agami karma also. No more agami karma for this person. Sanchita karma also is not there. Parabdha karma becomes exhausted. So what does it mean? The person becomes free from, absolutely free from the bondage of karma. He does not need, there's no need to exhaust any more karma. Parabdha karma becomes exhausted while living in this world as a Jivan Mukta. Because all day free while living, therefore, even if he is going through the Parabdha karma, he is not afflicted by Parabdha karma because of his objectivity. So he looks at his body, mind, sense complex alone, goes through the Parabdha karma. He is free. Understand? So, Jivan Muktaha Yada Bhavati, the person discovers freedom while living, still having the body, mind, sense complex. And the Parabdha karma also becomes exhausted while living this life itself. Therefore, for him, no more karma. Why? He is free from doership and enjoyership. Because his identity has been shifted from anatma, body, mind, complex to atma, the consciousness. Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. Consciousness is not the doer. Atma is not the doer. Not the enjoyer also. Without consciousness, atma, there is no doer, there is no enjoyer. But atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Atma, akarta, abhokta. So kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam is being not there and the part of the atma. This person, as the atma, being free from doership and enjoyership, is absolutely free from sanchitam karma, anarabdha karma, and also agami karma. Parabdha karma becomes exhausted when he becomes jivan mukta by then itself. Parabdha karma also becomes exhausted. So, there's no more account in his, he is a nil account. Only if you have to settle accounts with Ishwara, you have to come back. Okay? If we have settling account with Ishwara, Swamiji's expression, settling accounts with Ishwara means, if I have some punya paps in my account, you have a strong doership and enjoyership, I have to come back into this world, not to exhaust the Parabdha karma. When we exhaust our own Parabdha karma palani, we are settling accounts with Ishwara. A small portion settle, go back and again come back. Isn't it? It continues very indebted to Bhagavan throughout. But the minute you see yourself being emancipated from Bhagavan, you are free. Is it clear? Prarabdha karma vegena and bhogena yada jivan muktaha bhavati bhavet bhavati kinchit kalam anarabdha karma bandhasya api sankshaye. For some time when he lives as a jivan mukta, experiencing parabdha karma also, when sanchita karma also becomes exhausted, and what happens? Agami karma also being not there, he is free. What does he attain? Kaivalyam pratipadyate. Kaivalyam pratipadyate. He attains oneness. He discovers oneness of the reality. He discovers one secondless, non-dual reality obtaining as one's own self. Thereby he understands oneness and he attains oneness with Brahma. He attains freedom. Kaivalyam pratipadyate means he attains freedom. Kidrusham, he said, Punaha avrittirahitam. He attains oneness. He attains freedom, which is devoid of returning. Punaha avrittihi. Avrittihi means repetition. Punaravrittihi means returning. Punaravrittihi means what? Returning. Punaravrittirahitam means what? Devoid of returning. Devoid of punarjanma. Punaravrittihi means returning. Returning again is what? Punaravrittihi. Returning again literally means what? Avrittihi, returning. Returning, repeating. Avrittihi means returning, repeating. Punaravrittihi means again returning. Again returning means being born again. Okay? Rebirth. Punaravrittihi means here rebirth. So, punaravritti rahitam kaivalyam pratipadyate. He attains freedom in terms of oneness of reality, oneness of Brahma. He attains freedom in terms of being one with Brahma. In the wake of discovering the oneness of reality, he attains freedom which is devoid of rebirth. Understand? He attains freedom which is devoid of rebirth. Is it clear? Yes or no?
Yes.
Unless you nod your head, I will not go ahead. Clear?
Mm-hmm.
Punaravritti rahitam. Punaravritti sahitam means what? Being born again, isn't it? So, punaravritti rahitam kaivalyam prapatipa. Kirdrusham kaivalyam pratipadyate. Which sort of moksha does he attain? He attains permanent moksha, everlasting moksha. What does it mean? Because moksha is swarupam. If I say Agni attains heat, means what? This is attained. Agni, heat is, Agni is everlasting swarupam. Like freedom, limitlessness, fullness, happiness is your everlasting freedom, swarupam. But discovering one's everlasting, timeless nature is what? Is it attaining everlasting freedom? Is it clear? Everlasting freedom means there's no beginning. The freedom has no beginning, freedom has no end, no change. So freedom, which is not something new, what is he attained? So discovering the freedom which is already there as one's own beginningless, endless, non-raving, non-departing nature, changeless nature, is what? Attaining everlasting freedom. So kaivalyam patipaddhati, he attains everlasting freedom which is devoid of rebirth. Means there's no possibility of coming into this world again at all. There's no possibility of being born again at all. That's why in Munduka Upanishad, I don't know whether you remember, when a jnani passes away, the many people still have the problem here in this country. Okay, many people think the jnanis are coming back. They're coming to planchets. They even here, lot of shastra virodha. From some strong faiths they have, which is against shastra. Shastra viruddha, isn't it? Vishyaha. Even here, many people, the so-called elite people, still believe jnanis come and talk through planchets and they go and ask for reasons. And Swamiji, you know, Coimbatore Swamiji has to blast this. How jnani cannot come back? And Mundakam is the Upanishad words, we can't go against Upanishad words. What does Upanishad say? When jnani leaves, no, he does not leave his trace behind. Like what? When a bird flies in the sky, does the bird leave any traces? Can you find the trace of the bird flying in the sky? When the fish swim in the water, can you see this? Does the fish leave any trace in the water? Footprints? Bird does not leave any. You cannot trace the footprints of the bird flying in the sky. You cannot trace the footprints of fish swimming in the water. Similarly, jnani who lived his life in this world, after attaining Videha Mukti, he will not come back. No possibility of coming back at all into this world. This is Upanishad's words. That's why, what does the word say here? Punaravritti rahitam. If at all somebody comes back, means they cannot be jnanis. They must be only Siddha Purushas. Siddha Purushas can come back. A jnani need not be a Siddha Purusha. A Siddha Purusha can be a jnani. Okay? So a jnani can be Siddha Purusha, need not be Siddha Purusha. But Siddha Purusha is not a jnani. A jnani can be Siddha Purusha, need not be Siddha Purusha. Jnani will not come back. The Siddha Purusha is not a jnani. Siddha Purusha may come. See, being a Siddha Purusha also is not an easy joke. The tremendous accomplishment, tremendous tapas, they get such powers. But it's of no use for us. That's why, where I am going, what I am following, am I following the tradition or the cult? Very easy to get carried away by all these miracles and talking about that happens and this happens. See, so many Mahatmas can have so many powers. So what? What is there for me? Will you solve my problems? That's why always be very clear. Shastram saranam gachami. I surrender myself only to Shastram, the tradition sampradaya, and the Guru, isn't it? Then I am with the tradition, means because Shastram has all the clarity I need, Shastram has. My efforts must be only for understanding Shastram. You can pray to Bhagavan to bless you with the clarity, the capacity to understand the Shastram. You can request Bhagavan, beg Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan to bless you with the clear understanding of what Shastram reveals. May what is the subtlest facts revealed by the Shastram become clear for me. You can pray. That's what the prayer we are doing in the mornings. Understand? When it says Sahana Uttala, we are requesting for the clarity one, clarity of vision. We never get carried away by all these miracles and occult powers and that happens, this happens. Never get carried away. If somebody has means with due respect, the person can do namaskar and that's all finished. So what? Very important. Otherwise, the thousands of Mahatmas will be having their own things. So what? People have that. Again, there's many people who they like to talk about the miracles of other people. This happened, how great they are. Talking will be taken away from the facts. It will be of no use for us. So, prarabdha karma vegena jivan muktaha yada bhavet kinchit kalam anarabdha karma bandhasya samshaye. Okay? When gets over, then the person punaravrittirahitam kaivalyam padam prapadyate. I told you already the word kaivalyam means oneness. Kaivalyam means moksha also. He attains means discovering, knowing is attaining. He discovers, thereby he attains. He attains moksha in terms of knowledge. He attains oneness in terms of knowledge. Thereby he attains what? That moksha which he discovers is something everlasting, beginningless, endless, changeless, permanent. Therefore, the attainment of moksha is something which is devoid of rebirth, returning again. It's a punaravritti rahitam kaivalyam, which implies he attains everlasting freedom. Okay. Then what is that? Nirastha atishaya anandam vaishnavam paramam padam. Okay. So here, paramam padam is all adjectives describing kaivalyam. He attains absolute freedom, which is devoid of rebirth, which is the exalted truth, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Vaishnavam actually means what? Vishnu means all pervasive. Vyapnoti sarvamiti Vishnuhu. Is it? And anything pertaining to Vishnu is what? Vaishnavam. Anything pertaining to Vishnu is Vaishnavam. So, even the Vaishnava Matram, they say, Vaishnavaha means Vishnu Bhaktaha is Vaishnavaha. But here Vaishnava means all pervasiveness. Vishnu who is all pervasive, Vaishnava means all pervasiveness. Vaishnavam Paramam Padam. He attains freedom which is devoid of rebirth and which is of the nature of exaltedness and all pervasiveness. Vaishnavam padam, paramam padam, which is of the nature of exaltedness and all pervasiveness. Why? Freedom, where is freedom? Where is moksha? Where is happiness? Happiness is the implied meaning of the word moksha. So where is happiness? There's no place, no time, no object where happiness is not. Therefore, it is all pervasive. All pervasiveness is the nature of happiness, and happiness is the nature of the reality. Understand? So, Vaishnavam, then Paramam exaltedness. The reality which is of the nature of the exaltedness means there's nothing beyond the reality. Nothing more exalted than the reality. Reality is of the nature of exaltedness. Reality is of the nature of all-pervasiveness. So this person discovers freedom, attains freedom in terms of knowledge, which is devoid of rebirth, which is of the nature of exaltedness and all-pervasiveness. So by stating what does it mean? This happiness is the happiness is the very nature of the reality. Got it now?
Yes,
sir. Then, yes. So I'm going to come one by one. Is it clear now? Vaishnavam paramam padam dharavrittrihitam kaivalyam pratipadyate. All these words describe kaivalyam. So now, what is Vaishvam Paramam Padam? Got it? Understood? I said, he attains moksha kaivalyam in terms of knowledge, which is devoid of rebirth, and which is of the nature of, padam should be taken as nature. So, nature of exaltedness and all pervasiveness. Is it clear? Paramam padam, that's how you have to understand. Then, nirastha atishayanandam. So, again, it's further explained. Nirastha atishayanandam. The word atishayaha, very important. Atishayaha means, literally means atishayam. In Tamil we say wonder. Atishayam means something wonderful. Ascharyam. Astonishment. Like wonder. But here the word atishayaha implies gradation. Why gradation? Different degrees of pleasures we enjoy. Isn't it? How it's beautifully described in Taittiriya Upanishad. It's very beautifully. That's a portion discussing Ananda Mimamsa. The measurement of happiness. Different degrees of happiness. Just to make us understand. When something Ishta Vastunaha Darshane, is it? When you see something desirable, there is pleasure. And in Ishta Vastunaha, Prapto, in gaining, in possessing the desired object, in seeing something what is desired is joy, in possessing something what is desired is there's a greater joy, in enjoying something what is desired is what is greatest joy. Great, greater, greatest joy. Different degrees of pleasure. Oh, I've been searching for something. We are going to see this afternoon shopping, isn't it? And then Sataka will say, oh, this is what I've been searching for so long. I'm very lucky. I found it. Exactly. I found it. And he will call to send Kevin also. So he took he didn't spend. And Thiru will say, I'm not interested. To pass between let me also come with you. Thiru will go. And then so all of us also will walk behind. Okay. So this is of Ishta Vastunaha Darshane Sukham. Ishta Vastunaha Darshane Sukham. Something, when you find what you desire, there is some Sukham. That is joy. When there's a joy, there's a pleasure. And Ishta Vastunaha Paprapto. When you buy it and make it your own, what is desired, there's a greater joy. You buy it, not able to enjoy it means. Stops. Now, when you're able to enjoy what is desired by you, there's a greatest joy. Different degrees of pleasures, okay? Joy. But I tell you, this is called gradation of pleasures. But what about Atma Sukham? What was Atmanandaha? Atma Sukham? Brahmanandaha? This Anandaha, happiness, the Surupam of Brahman, is of the nature of fullness. Okay, Brahma Swarupam, the fullness of happiness is the very nature of reality. Fullness of happiness, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, changeless nature of reality is what? Fullness of happiness. Brahmananda, Brahma, the reality is the source of all forms of pleasures. Understand? That's why Nirastha Atishaya Anandaha. Nirastha Atishaya Ananda. Ananda Anandam Kaivalyam. He attains freedom, okay, and which is free from all different gradations of happiness. Why? Reality being the very source of all happiness, it is free from all different gradations, degrees of sukham. Understand? Reality is not great joy, greater joy, greatest joy. Reality is the only source of all degrees of pleasures, all fractions of happiness. Understand? That is why any pleasure, what is a pleasure? Pleasure is an expression of manifestation of fraction of fullness. An object, an external object becomes an instrument, becomes instrumental in having the manifestation of the fraction of fullness of happiness, which is your own Swarupam. Understand? Okay. Now, classical music, you're listening. Classical, we mistake the object for as a source of pleasure. No object in the world is looked upon as object of pleasure is a source of pleasure. If they're all these objects are said to be objects of pleasures. The music or dance or any art form, any food, anything. No object is an object of pleasure. Okay, objects of pleasures are objects of pleasures, but they're only instrumental. Okay, in manifesting your own Swarupam for a short time. They are not sources of pleasure. Sukham is not from the object. It is not from the food, not from, it's your own Swarupam. Understand? If you listen to music, if you're watching some television program, you really like it very much, something very interesting, something about science, something geographical, something you are watching, nice program, and because you see a lot of jungle and animals and going, very interesting for some people, okay, some people may not like it. And then we'll watch it, you like it, and oh, look at this, oh my God, how, look at the whole host that you have seen, heard of elephants coming. You see the beauty, yes, you lose yourself. And it's a joy. And the watch, every time you open television, you want to watch that channel, because that channel, whatever you watch there, animals, the forest, the flowers, the natural surroundings, the birds, etc. That helps, that makes you, that can hold your attention totally. If you're watching a program for 15, 20 minutes, means 15, 20 minutes, completely you lost yourself in watching it. The object holds the attention. Whenever the object holds the attention totally, you watch only the what is watching, what is being watched alone is there, you forget yourself. Totally losing oneself in enjoying something. How does it happen? That object holds attention totally, grabs your attention totally. So you forget yourself for a while. Whenever you forget yourself, what's called what now? Losing yourself. When you forget yourself, for that moment, you are as well as non-existent. When you forget yourself, you are just yourself. Whenever you are yourself, what is there? No identity. Whenever there's no identity, you are your sukham. How long? The sukham you experience, enjoy, is it? That sukham, which is nothing but manifestation of, fraction of, fullness of happiness, is your own Swarupam. For that sukham to man, then object goes. Attention becomes diverted. The sukham is not from the object. Attention becomes diverted. again identity comes back. You are not yourself anymore. So compose. Understand? The pleasure is nothing but manifestation of fraction of fullness, which is fullness of happiness, which is your own sorupa. Object is only instrumental in helping, in manifesting your sorupa. That's all. It is not a source of pleasure. Understand? So here, such any, whatever is the degree of pleasure a person enjoys, degree of happiness a person enjoys, is all gradations, isn't it? Different gradations. In Taittiriya Upanishad, it is very beautifully said, what is one unit of human happiness? One unit of human happiness. A person is young, energetic, very handsome, very, he has everything he wants in life, and he studies very well. He comes first in the class. He studies, gets all degrees and gets Harvard and Oxford and Cambridge and all PhDs and postmasters, postdoctoral fellowships. And he becomes the number one renowned person of wisdom, a celebrity. And he gets married to a very pretty, equally intelligent wife. And he has equally intelligent children. And he has, so everywhere he has wealth. Everywhere he has everything. There's nothing he lacks in his life. If at all there's a person like that, okay? His happiness is what? One unit of happiness, okay? That have one unit of happiness. And from there it starts, okay? What is 100 units of Manishyananda is 100 units, one unit of Devananda. 100 Manish Devananda is, like that, there's a beautiful Ananda Mimamsa discussed in Taittiriya Upanishad. And finally, it's all what? Experiential Sukham. Experience means what? Time bound. Even any heavenly pleasures are time bound only. What is Brahmanandaha, Paramanandaha, Atmanandaha? It is Swarupa Anandaha. Is it? It's not experiential. It is Swarupa Anandaha. So this Paramatma here, this absolute reality, being the only source of all knowledge and all happiness, is free from what? All this different degrees of pleasures, the gradations of happiness, which are experienced in, which time-bound pleasures are experienced in, as experienced in this world. Understand? It's distinct from nirasta. Okay? Nirasta atishayanandam vaishtavam paramam padam punaravrittirahitam kaivalyam pratipadyate. This person attains moksha in terms of knowledge, which is absolute, limitless happiness, free from time-bound gradations, degrees of pleasures, and which is of the nature of exaltedness, all-pervasiveness, and which is devoid of rebirth. Understand? Now I made it very clear. Sometimes I like to talk so much. Whatever I see, I want to say everything. And sometimes you lose track. But again, now I made it completed. Now I have made it. Means what? I have completed this whole verse. Have I? Yes. Got it? Nirastha Atishaya. Now, are you all interested in Atishayananda? No. We are not interested in Atishayanandaha. The word Atishaya has different meanings. But in this meanings, it means contemplate degrees of pleasures or gradations of happiness. Understand? Nirastatishayanandam. Nirastatishayanandam. Nirastha Atishaya Anandam. Rastatishayanandam, Rastatishayanandam, Vaishnavam paramam padam, paramam padam, punaravrittirahitam, vrittirahitam, kaivalyam pratipadyate. When a person becomes Jivan Mukta, the Parabdha Karma, but he's experiencing Parabdha Karma in this life itself when he's unafflictedly, unaffectedly, objectively, finishes the exhaustion of Parabdha Karma. if you finish exhausting parabdha karma, and anarabdhajita karma also becomes resolved. Samsham becomes resolved. Agami also becomes resolved. Then this person attains moksha in terms of knowledge, which is free from rebirth and which is devoid, which is free from all different degrees of pleasures or gradations of happiness, and which is of the nature of exaltedness and all pervasiveness. Finished. Okay. So next session, we will see tomorrow. Tomorrow only we can do, I think. Tomorrow we have another class. No, we have one more class, okay? Yeah, we have still time. I can clarify your doubts and all that. Is it clear now? We have 24 minutes more. Let us see the verse again. Prarabdha karma vegena. Jivan mukto yada bhavet. Kinchit kalam anarabdha karma bandhasya samshaye. Nirastatishayanandam Vaishnavam paramam padam Punaravrittirahitam Kaivalyam pratipadyate Itish paramahamsa parivrajakacharya Iti paramahamsa parivrajaka acharya Srimat Shankaracharya Virachita Vakya Vrittihi Samapta. So Vakya Vrittihi Samapta. Samapta here concludes, here ends. What? Vakya Vrittihi. Unfoldment of the meaning of the statement revealing the essential oneness. Unfoldment of the analysis of the unfoldment of the exposition of the great Vedantic statement. Of Shankara. So the unfoldment is of the statement by Shankara Bhagavatpada. And who is he? Srimat Shankaracharya. Srimat Shankara, Shankara Bhagavatpada. Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya. Exalted teacher. And a wandering monk. Paramahamsaha. Paramahamsaha means the person of wisdom, the discriminative knowledge, vision. Now, you can go to page number before the topic Vakyavritti begins. Mm-hmm. There is contents. The page called page having contents. Okay?
Yeah.
Which is what I was supposed to do as a teacher. The author has done this job. So it's easy for me. Okay? I was supposed to do this work. He has done this work, so I can very easy for me to make you see this. Okay, shloka number one. It's like a summary. Wait to see now. Prathamaha shlokaha. And then Samskritam class also begins, okay? Prathama shlokasya vishayaha kaha. Prathama shlokasya vishayaha kaha is the question. Are you okay? Prathama shlokasya vishayaha kaha. What is the content of the first verse? ఓకే, ప్రథమ శ్లోకే, ఓకే, శ్లోక నంబర్ వన్ సమ్మరీ, లైక్ సమ్మరీ ఐఎమ్ టెలింగ్. యూ సీ ద వర్స్ నౌ, ఎస్ సంస్కృతం ఇస్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ ఇంగ్లీష్, ఐఎమ్ ఫుటింగ్ ఇన్ సంస్కృతం. ఓకే, దర్ ఈస్ ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఇస్ అ బెనడిక్టరీ వర్స్, మంగళాచరణం. ది ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఇస్ అ మంగళాచరణం, బెనడిక్టరీ వర్స్, ఇన్ విచ్ ఆదిశంకర భగవత్పాద యాజ్ అన్ ఆథర్ ఆఫర్స్ హిస్ ఒబీజన్స్ టు భగవాన్. Is it clear? The first verse is a verse of benediction, a benedictory verse, wherein Adishankara Bhagavatpada offers his obeisance to Bhagavan, invoking Bhagavan's grace for the successful completion of the work as well as for the benefit of the students who read it. Not to reading it, to study this book. So, Mangalacharana Shlokaha. Mangalacharana Shlokaha, first one. Then, Dvitiya Shlokasya Vishyaha Kaha. Can I go ahead now? Am I very fast? Huh?
No.
Tell me, Sachin. Be fast. Okay. ద్వితీయ శ్లోకస్య విషయః కః, వాట్ ఇస్ ద కంటెంట్ ఆఫ్ సెకండ్ శ్లోక. ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ శ్లోక ఆల్సో శంకర భగవత్పాద ఇన్వోక్స్ ది గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ టీచర్ గోవింద భగవత్పాద. సో హీ ఆఫర్స్ హిస్ ఒబీజన్స్ టు హిస్ టీచర్. Revealing the fact, stating the fact that the vision he has, revealing the fact that the vision he has is because of the teaching. What the vision he has, he says, I am the all-pervasive Lord. In me alone, everything has been projected. In this manner, I know that I am the Self. I am the Atma. This vision I have because of my teachers, teaching. Okay, stating the fact, and he offers his obeisance to salutations unto his teacher. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
This is second verse. Okay. Tritiya shlokaha. The third verse. Tritiya shlokasya vishayaha kaha. What the content of the third verse? Tritiya shloke. శిష్యస్య జ్ఞాన యోగ్యత నిమిత్తం అపేక్షితాః విషయాః ఉచ్యంతే. విచ్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ వర్స్ శంకర భగవత్పాద డిస్కసెస్ ఆల్ ది క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ required on the part of the disciple in order to attain jnanam, knowledge. Chaturthasya shlokasya vishayah kaha. Chaturtha shloke Shankara Bhagavat Padaha kim vadati. What does he say in the fourth verse? The fourth verse actually reveals students' qualification in the form of his desperateness for moksha. The fourth verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the students, the shishyas, disciples or students, qualification in the form of his mukshuttam, aspiration for moksha. Got it now? In fact, I'm supposed to do this work. This author has done this, so it's easy for me to say. Next. Shloka dvaye panchama shashta panchama shashta yoho shloka yoho in two verses, fifth and the sixth. Kaha vishyaha, what's the content there? In fifth and sixth verses, the fact is revealed. The fact is mentioned. The fact that knowledge of the essential oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma alone will liberate a person. In the fifth and sixth verses, the fact is revealed. What is the fact here? The fact is attainment of knowledge of identity between the individual microcosmic being and the total macrocosmic being, Jiva and Ishvara, will serve as a means of discovering freedom. Is it clear? Correct? Do I say anything you cannot understand? So in fifth and sixth verses, Shankara Bhagavatpada states the fact that knowledge of the essential oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma, right, arising from the analysis of the Vedantic declaration in terms of Mahavakyam, such as Tattvamasi, serves as a means of discovery of freedom. Correct? Then next. The seventh verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions disciples' interest in knowing about the knowledge Brahma, Jivatma, Paramatma, etc. In seventh verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the disciples' interest in knowing Jivatma, what is Jivatma, what is Paramatma, how there is identity, how the Mahavakyam reveals the identity, etc. Okay? Can you go ahead? Next. Ashtama shlokasya kaha vishyaha. Ashtama shloke kaha vishyaha. What is the content of the eighth verse? In the eighth verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the response of the teacher to his disciple. That the teacher answers briefly that individual is non-different from total. Jivatma is non-separate from Paramatma. So the eighth verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the teacher's response to the student saying that Jivatma is non-separate from Paramatma. Next. Navama Dashama Yoho Shloka Yoho. Or you can say what? In 9th and 10th verses, the teacher, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the teacher's words that knowledge of this Vedantic statement, knowledge of the Vedantic statement, otherwise the Mahavakyam, is dependent on appropriate, relevant meanings of the words which form the sentence. So knowledge of the meanings of the sentence is dependent on the knowledge of the appropriate meanings, knowledge of the meanings of the words of the sentence. Is it clear? Shabda jnanam is vakya jnanam. Ekadasha shlokataha saptavimshatitama shloka paryantam. Verse number 11 until the 27th verse. Ekadasha shlokataha sapta vimshati tama shloka paryantam. 11th to the 27th. Kati shlokaha? Count and tell me. Ganayantu. Ekadasha, dvadasha, trayodasha, chaturdasha, panchadasha, shodasha, saptadasha, attadasha, navadasha, vimshatihi, Eka Vimshatihi, Dvamshatihi, Trayomshati, Chaturimshati, Panchamshati, Shadvimshati, Saptamshati. Saptadasha Shloka. Shloka. So, Ekadasha Shloka Taha. Saptavimshatama Shloka Paryantam. Saptadasha Shlokeshu. So, from the 11th verse onwards until 27th verse, in 17 verses, Shankara Bhagavatpada unfolds, presents only the lakshyartha, the contextually implied meaning of the word tvam, being pure consciousness, existence, limitlessness. And is Tvampad Lakshyartha being the witness of the all states of mind and their changes. Is it clear? I want to say only in Sanskrit. At the same time, I want to say in Sanskrit. When you, I should say in English also. I should be saying only in Sanskrit. Okay. No. 28 to the 36th verse. Ashtavimshati shlokataha. Ashtavimshati tamma shlokataha. Shatrimshattama shloka paryantam. 28 to the 36th. Ashtavimshati tamma shlokataha. Shatrim Shattama Shloka Paryantam. Adi Shlokaha. count. Okay. Nava slokeshu. Nava slokeshu. In 9 verses, 28 to 36th. Tatpada lakshartha pratipadyate. The implied, contextually implied meaning of the word tat, the third person singular pronoun of the Mahavakyam, tattvamasi, is unfolded, established. Okay, next. 37th to the 41st. This author, Swami Jagadananda, really has done a spoon feeding for us. Isn't it? I was supposed to be doing this work. And he said, I don't need to do this. And he has given this easy, made my job very easy. Okay. So in these verses, so Sapta Trimshattama Shlokataha Yeka Chattvarimshattama Shloka Paryantam Kati Shlokaha Pancha Shlokaha Pancha Chattvari Pancha Shlokeshu Panchasu Shlokeshu Pancha Shlokeshu Asi padartasya vyakhyanam karoti. He explains, he unfolds, he establishes the meaning of the statement Mahavakyam, Tattvamasi, etc. Stating the essential nature of essentially the implied, the standpoint implied meaning tat and tvam are one and the same, and the essential nature of the tat and tvam being one indivisible, undivided consciousness, existence, limitlessness. Thereby he reveals the self being non-separate from Atma, being one Atma, being non-separate from, non-different from Brahma. Is it clear? Not clear. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Okay, let's, we'll see next class. Too much will be. Even 31st to 41st, 7th to 41st, I guess, say again. What I said last of 37th to 41st also, I'll say again. Okay? I feel like saying it in Sanskritam also, but just not to make others feel bored, I'm just saying, not saying it. Is it clear now? I know where exactly some vagueness must be there in certain areas. I tell you where you must be having the vagueness. I tell you. We have one more, because there's more time again, I can discuss about it. Okay. Later on. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate.